Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yes, welcome to How the Other Half Live provides a unique, grounded perspective from north of the border on the most famous league in the world, citing on the stories and insight of our panel of players who have experienced what it's like from the inside of the most talked about competition on the planet as they react to the latest news coming out of the EPL. You would never have known I'd read that with a...
No, not at all.
That was good, wasn't it?
One take as well.
Professional, brilliant. Mate. Ellie Barber's not got that in her locker, is she?
Ellie's good, she could have done that in one take, eh?
She would have probably been a wee bit more natural on that. I've said here, you're only on because of your Premier League experience, but it's because both of you know Tommy Gravison.
Right,
Faddy's got a story that's never been told. Come on, Faddy.
Right, okay.
Do you want it then, eh?
Nah, he's a Denmark story. Get us off
the floor. Well, we're doing the Scotland-Denmark game at Hampden. When was that, October? Mm-hmm. Last year. And I had to go in and do a Sky Sports News hit. So you go and get a wee interview, preview the game, try and get people to watch it. As I walked in, the Danish TV were there and Tommy was there, and they did like 2 hour build up 3 hours after the game, go really in depth. So I was speaking to him, they were on a break, I was speaking to him and he's like, "Oh, who's this guy?" I says, "Oh, that's Mark. He's a big Liverpool fan." He's
Mark,
like,
Ben said it was.
Mark Ben said, he's like, "What? What? Big Liverpool fan? All right. So it was about, I don't know, 10, 15 yards away from him. So I'm on live and as soon as I started, he's going, "James! James!" So I'm like trying to talk away, no, trying to get put off, and he starts shouting at Mark Benstead, "Who's that lad? John Anarisa?" So we're live trying to concentrate on what's happening, and then after, obviously, we managed to get through it, and Tommy's up, and he's like, come on the Danish TV. I'm like, well, listen, I've been on every other platform, I may as well, mate. So I went on pre-match and done a wee bit in the Danish TV, and he was telling me that Scotland were going to get beat and stuff. So after the game, I went down, Scotland had won, and I was like, "Yes, Tommy, see you later." He's like, "No, come back on." So I had to go back on and speak about Denmark and how they played and all
that. What a hero. Have you spoke to him since?
No.
Never?
No, never, mate.
We need to get that sorted.
I'd love it, to be fair. You just grow, as you get older in football, mate, you just grow apart with people, don't you? Like, if I seen him today, mate, it'd probably be like we'd never same. Not spoke for years and years, but
he'd wrestle you and throw you about.
Aye, would.
Did he ever wrestle you?
Aye, loads of times, mate.
He wrestled everybody. Do
you remember like we played the Scottish Cup final, like 2005 or something like that? And we went away to like Strachan and that weird thing sometimes, a bit like going off and like staying in hotels like 2 days before like a cup final.
Right.
We went to Mar Hall, same thing, Tommy. Like, I've tried to give Tommy a bit in the corridor with a towel, like threw a towel in his face, you know, when all the lads were watching. And then just chased me, mate. And I'm like slamming doors behind him or running up the corridor, and he's like grabbed me. And like, it's like when I, funny Tommy, mate, 15 minutes, mate, just wrestling, mate.
Did
the
you
ground.
Fight it back?
Ah, you try, mate, no, but then he's just too don't. Powerful, mate.
He's just a bear,
he's too strong, mate.
He gets fed up.
Just let him there. Eventually, mate, I think it was that one for still game, you know, where like, the dog is on top of Winston. He goes, "How'd you get him off?" He goes, "See, now have you dug him? I've bumped it." It was like that, mate. He gets someone else caught his attention, mate. Right. Caddy or someone, mate. When I went and started wrestling him.
Mate, see what you're saying? That's what exactly I thought. See, when he used to hold me down, he's that sick in the head. You're thinking, could this, like, there's nobody here.
Could he be
this
forever?
Could he be that sick?
You're better just letting him there. He gets bored.
Amazing. What a start. Right, Grosvenor Sports, boys. Sign up offer from Grosvenor Sport. Bet £5, get £25 in free bets on any sport. Sign up at gsport.com/opengoal. That's a wee bit that pays your £50 you're getting for this.
I've no doubt in it so far, mate. So
have you sent your bank details?
No, I've no, don't worry about
you it. You probably not noticed it going in.
I'm doing it for free, ain't I?
The love of the game, innit?
The love of the game, mate.
Right, we're talking about the English Premier League. Good times for yourselves down there?
Better for him, definitely.
But see, when you first heard Everton were coming in for you for Russia, was there an excitement there? Massive.
Oh, there was, yeah. I was like,
when did you first hear the interest?
To be honest, it was probably about 6 months before that, and there was it was Martinez. I spoke to Martinez on the phone a couple of times before that. I thought I was going to go 6 months before, and then the fee was too high and stuff like that, and Spartak, like, see if they don't want to sell you, mate. Russian clubs, mate, they don't sell you, mate. It's like the owner goes MIA, and then they go, oh, we want a certain fee. 2 weeks later, the fee comes in, and then the club's going, we've not had any feedback, not had a response to our offer. Oh, the owner's in Monaco, and it doesn't answer his phone to us, and that. Don't want to sell you, don't want to sell you, so.
But are you kicking up fuck it this time? Are you saying that what's happening?
I was like, well, listen, I've got a year left in my deal, and you've basically promised me after 2 years I could have left, and you've had so many chances to sell me, and you've not sold me. And they're like, ah, so it is, mate. Just kind of like that, and you just kind of got on with it. I thought I was going to say for Martinez, like, the summer before, got to the January, and they were like, listen, if you don't leave now, you're training with the 18s for the last 6 months of your deal. And I was like, all right, well. And then it happened. I was like, aye, of course. I was like, buzzing, to be fair. Like, thought, great move. Like, probably outside, at the time, outside the top four.
They were flying. I was like,
best you could have really hoped for. I knew Martinez had wanted to sign me for like so many other times as well. I was like, this would be perfect. And then it just...
I started all right.
To be honest, I was unfit, mate, when I went. I came off the back of being out for on holiday for 8 weeks. Do you know what I mean? Like the January, you get December, January off in Russia. I was off for like 8 weeks, mate. Knowing I was leaving, but didn't know where I was going. Then that came about, and it was like in the space of 3 days, I was at Everton. I was like, unfit. And he'd kind of used the first 6 months to like, oh, we'll get you acclimatised to the Premier League, you know. I was basically a sub every single game, but I was cool with that. And then the following season was kind of when I came back and thought, oh, well, this is it now.
Did you enjoy it, Everton? No, take the football out of it, just being there.
It's a hard question, isn't it? Because a great club, though, like, great people, like, really good teammates and stuff, really good lads there. Obviously, you've played with a lot of them, like Jags and, like, Hibbo, Ozzy and stuff like that, like, great lads. Just, that was all good, I just... Then if you're not playing well, you're not playing, mate, you can't enjoy it. And I'm not the type of guy to sit about and just
be happy, mate,
yeah. And not play. Like I'm just never that type of guy.
I spoke to Faddy last week about Big Dunk. How was he with you?
Do you know what I guess with Dunk? He was like absolutely brand new, mate. Like the first kind of year I was there. Like I know, I felt a bit sorry for Dunk because he was kind of put on that, like he's like an Everton icon,
aye,
isn't he?
Aye.
There you go, like, stayed with every single manager. And, like, under Martinez, he was kind of, you could see Martinez had been told to bring him in. Or the club had brought him in, and he was like, by the way, Dunk's one of the coaching staff. But Dunk was, like, so opposite from Martinez. He was just like, oh, I don't even know what they're training me, man. They don't tell me anything. And he was, like, so laid back, which is understandable. But then I seen a change when Ronald Koeman came in, and it was kind of almost like, I kind of felt like Dunk maybe had to adapt to what the manager wanted. Aye. And
Did everybody have to do that though within the club?
I think probably everybody did that, but I was only there for about a couple of weeks and told Koeman was like, listen, you're not going to play. But I'd seen a kind of change in Dunk, like he was kind of like more strict.
Yeah.
Done a passing drill one day and I passed the ball outside of my foot and Ronald Koeman was like mad.
Oh, I hate it.
He was mad on passing with inside your feet, mate.
Right.
You couldn't pass the ball outside your foot, mate, in a passing drill. But the ball went literally outside me a wee bit, so I just went outside the boot instead of taking two touches.
Yeah.
And Dunk went mental.
At you?
Mental, mate.
Did he?
And I was like, he's like, what are you playing at? I was like, oh, I would do it in a game, no? And he was like, I'm telling you, you keep pushing me. And I was like,
How far did you go?
Kind of just went like,
straight.
As soon as he said that, I was like,
is he intimidating?
Aye.
Did you see him hit the pads?
No.
Nah, you said that the boy used to put the pads on.
Aye, he used to do the boxing, aye, but he could, even when he played, it was like that, he could switch.
Switch that, like, I could see he had that in him.
Like, he'd be laughing and joking most of the time. But the odd occasion, he'd switch and then you'd just be like...
Ah, let's leave.
Would they ever crack the dressing room in front of everyone?
No, not really. Not really. He was getting towards the end of his career and he was just Mr. Everton. Like, he used to get suspended and that and argue with the manager, but never date in front of anybody. to undermine him or do anything.
Who was the gaffer at the time? Was it Moyes?
They did a couple of times where there was maybe an argument and he would be away for a few days, but you'd never see it. He wouldn't do anything to damage the club.
Brilliant, uh-huh.
But he could lose it, aye. But you talk about the passing drill. Andy Watson used to do that as well.
Cause right. Is that Alex McLeish's assistant?
Aye, so they had Jan Wouters at Rangers.
Yeah.
And it was all the Dutch stuff.
It's a Dutch thing, isn't it?
Aye. You'd do a wee triangle or whatever, left foot, right foot, control to your left, pass it to your right. And it was exactly the same thing. Ball came at me, I took a poor touch, but I just flicked it with the side of my left. He went mental. Was that instep, left foot, right foot? And I'm
safe
like,
side.
When can I take a bad touch? And I just fixed it. See, for me to take another touch, slowing it down. Yeah, and I would do that in a game. And he's just like, left foot, right foot.
You can take it off Ronald Koeman, but you can't take it off fucking Andy Watson.
He's your coach. Go to respect him.
All right, that was good. Right, into the actual Premier League. Man United, only place to start. Beating 4-0 for Brentford, sorry. What do you make of the situation there? What does he do? Does he keep trying to play out and keep getting the ball taken off, or does he need to change his sort of philosophy his way?
I don't think he will, because that's his style. And you know, when something comes in, it's a big change, then at times it doesn't work. It certainly doesn't work straight away. But there's a lot of change needed there, mm-hmm. because that's another manager in, and now the obviously the pressure goes on to him because he's a manager, but pretty much the same group of players, mm-hmm. different manager, same problems. To be 4-0 down at half time.
No.
They've done amazing to keep it
4-0. Summer's out for a minute. I know you said big changes, but they've also made wee changes with a wee man for Jackass going in at centre back.
But I couldn't believe when he was playing. I couldn't believe he was playing centre half. That one. You're talking about the
Martinez.
How's
5'9" he's listed as?
He's absolutely tiny. I thought he was like a left wing back.
I think he's smaller, mate. I'm 5'9".
He must be unbelievable.
I'm 5'8.5".
You can't step into centre half when you didn't play against
centre half.
You didn't play centre half last year. You can't be having this size.
I know, but can he be successful in the Premier League? You've obviously played. There is physicality, such a massive thing.
I think it's going to be tough because in terms of his attributes, he might be a good 1v1 defender. He might be good on the ball. But you're coming up against an Ivan Toney. It's going to be a Mitrovic,
Antonio,
yeah. Calvert-Lewin when he's fit. Darwin Nunes is obviously physical as well. Haaland, you go through all the teams, they've all got physical strikers. So, the one thing I would say is, usually when a new player comes in, you obviously judge them straight away. Mm-hmm. But usually when they're coming in for a different league, and they're fitting into a new team with a new manager, a new system, you always say, let them settle. But he's been bullied once, so that's it. People have just written him off. So, listen, the manager's paid a lot of money for him. He must believe that he can play in that system, in that position. But it's not going to get any easier because he'll come up against physical strikers, physical players every single week.
They've saved money on him because he's sharing trackies with the under-11s.
But do you not think, though, that... Sorry, si, pied over your joke there, mate. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
Sorry,
okay.
Mate. No,
was that one written down?
No,
I was going to say, do you not think, though, that he's, I mean, you're saying like about physicality and stuff like that, but he would have came up against physical players playing in the Champions League and things like that. Mm. And obviously, he must be able to handle it because Champions League teams all have physical players, like Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, everybody. I know they say the English Premier League is more physical, which it will be, of course, it will be than Holland.
I think there'll be more teams that go direct than Champions League. But that's why I'm saying, under normal circumstances, say he went to Arsenal, Man City, Liverpool, there would be a rush to write him off, but they would be able to get a wee bit of backing because they're doing well. He's moved into a team that are struggling. Mm. Struggled last year, struggled the year before, and they're struggling now. So they're looking for... I mean, you could call it any one of them because of their performance levels, but the height thing, it's not going to go away, is it? It's going to always be there.
Who's the biggest specimen you've played against in there? Get anybody cut in mind?
The biggest guy I've ever seen, Danny Shatto, honestly.
Big centre-half.
Double wide. Width of two guys.
Bigger than Bobo, do you think?
Oh, definitely.
Think so, aye?
Nose tall, aye. But wider. Like, the Goodison, the tunnel's quite narrow, isn't it? when I think it was at Watford, they came up for the Championship. We played them. He's in the tunnel. Oh my God! And we'd like Joseph Yobo and big guy, yeah, twice as wide as him, and he's just in the tunnel going, "Who's on the first yellow today? Me, I am, and I'm like, my God, I was on the bench, and I'm going, oh, thank God, I'm on the bench.
I've heard loads of stories about him, like, shouting stuff in the tunnel.
Do not get up or something. Who's getting it today?
Work time, this is our time.
I'm on the first yellow, I'm taking the first yellow.
Because that man first time he gets the ball goes under his foot, man, that to play. Shut up, mate.
He done it, he stepped out for left centre back. Went to hit it with his left, toe poked it with his right, missed it and fell. And I was like, ah, time, if I just stay away from him, I might be all right.
Did you play Millwall? We played Millwall, we were standing in the tunnel, and that Neil Harris, I think he was the manager now, he went to Cardiff, and he looked at me, he's like, look at them lads, he's fucking shitting himself.
I love stuff like that, man.
Usually it's like, oh, serious, the tunnel, like, you get the odd guy that's maybe played, like their pals or whatever, and they're a wee bit like apprehensive about shaking hands. He's just like, I'm on the first yellow, I will take the first yellow, I'm having it today. And you're like, size him.
How are you, man? I mean, is it right on Ten Hag? Does he deserve the full season? He needs to get a season, well, doesn't he?
I have this thing with management where if you're appointing somebody, the reasons why you're appointing them have to remain, surely. Yeah. You can't then say, right, Ten Hag said he was going to do this. He's no done it after two games, get rid of him. Like, the reason you've appointed him is because he can bring his style, his qualities to the job. But the one thing I'll say is, then you need to win. You need to show progression, you need to win games. But he's got a huge job. It's not just about changing the style, it's getting the players within the club to fit into that style, that system. Does he have it? Does he have like good balance in his squad? I'm not so sure he does.
And you're mixed on this, Ronaldo, and you think he should go?
No, I'm not saying I think he should go, no, because you don't want to be talking about Ronaldo that way. Ronaldo is one of the best players ever.
Yeah.
But was it a publicity stunt from Man United? I mean, you go back to Man United and Ten Hag, and does he deserve time? I think of course he deserves time. But I also think him losing the games is helpful, because the pressure is, it's on him, but it's less on him, it's more on the club. Aye. And the owners. Everybody's cracking up at the owners, I've got to sell. But recruitment at Man United, how can you... I was arguing with my mate about this the other day, he's like, he's half a Man United fan. I was like, half? Can you... Well, he's a Celtic fan, right? But right. He's Man United, like he's 16, do you know what I mean? Like, he used to love Man United. Decent. Shut up, that. But I was like going, well, talking about Man United, I was going, how can you please explain to me, see if the head of recruitment at Man United is still on a job?
Aye.
How is this possible? When you let a player go for free to Juventus, buy him back for 90 million, give him 300 grand a week, then let him go back on a free, how can that guy still be on a job?
It's not even that. It's
how can he be still on a job?
Well,
that's one thing.
The stuff we're on out of it.
Oh like, my God.
Who suggested him?
You see that they released it to gauge the fans.
What did they think was going to be the reaction?
I don't know. It was literally
wild, innit?
Man United go out and get the best. 10 years ago, Man United go out and get the best players. Yeah. If it's Man United, Liverpool, Chelsea sing for Man United. Now it's, if Chelsea and Liverpool and Arsenal and Man City don't want you, then it's Man United.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
But even scary, some, I know that De Jong's a different case because he's at Barcelona, but some players are actually now saying, I'll just stay where I'm.
Even though everybody wants, even if every single player wants to leave.
No, it's fine.
Boys at Arbroath rather stay there and go to Man U after the league campaign. I was thinking about bringing legends back, obviously Ronaldo, but I actually thought it was Dennis Irwin that brought back centre back, the wee guy. obviously, he stormed off in a pre-season friendly, Ronaldo. Do you get that with the big hitters? I had you told a story about Eto'o kind of just fucked it off. No, fucked it off, but yeah. His head had gone at Everton. Did you see that, didn't you?
No. I'd once where it wasn't that they left the stadium, but Andy van der Meyde didn't know what to do the running. Have I told you this before?
No, I don't think so.
So you're after the game, you need to do the running when you're not playing. And Andy's like, I'm not doing it. And it was Dave Bellows there when you were there.
Who?
Dave Bellows, fitness coach.
No, he wasn't there.
So the fitness coach's like, you need to go and come on, like one of them, don't let everybody see you. You need to come, just come out and do the running, do whatever you can. He's like, nah, I'm not doing it. And Moises heard them. He's like, what? what's up? He's like, I'm not doing the run. I'm like, you're doing the run? He says, no, I'm not doing it. Fucking bang, grabbed him with the throat, pinned him up against the wall. He's got out and do the running, I'm telling you. And he's like,
his face is shot back down, but still never done it.
Face has gone red. Face has gone red. Out and done the running.
Did he run?
Aye.
Oh, tail between his legs running.
Oh, yeah, he ran. You didn't mess about him.
You, anybody else like Russia or that?
Oh, Russia was a different place, mate, entirely, man. Completely different. But in terms of like Premier League and things like that, not really, no. The couple of lads at Everton when I was there that I thought were kind of diva like a little bit.
Oh, go
couple,
on then.
Couple, in my opinion. Morales was a little bit like that, I thought.
The Belgian guy, huh?
De La Feu. Good players, mate, really good players, but just a little bit selfish.
De La Feu would do a step over when nobody near him,
eh? Like, shoot from 40 yards, mate. Do two step overs, shoot from 40 yards, mate. No, not, no problem with that at all. But then, no problem with that at all, but then you do it, mate, and he starts shouting at you.
Aye.
Oh, did he, right?
You do it and he starts shouting at you. That's the thing for me, you've got to be consistent. Like, yeah, you can't behave one way and then you do the exact opposite, but. No, not really, no. No,
and
in terms of
like Morales being Belgian, with Martinez not really
that,
saying it.
That was kind of, yeah, that was one of the things that I found, like, not just because it was him, just because of the kind of, I think we played one game where Morales took the penalty off of Leighton Baines.
I remember it.
And it was like, he missed it, mate, and we ended up losing the game. And at that point, we were really struggling. Like, it was the second season, obviously, we were really struggling. It was like a big moment. And I was like, go on then, like,
go.
It's Leighton Baines is the penalty taker. He's missed one out of fucking 45 penalties or something, and Morales has grabbed the ball, it's cost us 3 points, it's cost us 2 points, whatever. They didn't say anything, mate.
Did anybody say anything in the dressing room? Jag said
no? No, really. That was kind of what I thought. I was like, I didn't play, I think I was in the stand, I think I might have been sent, I think I got sent off a game before. But I was sitting watching it, and I was like, I go in, and like, you've got to nail him, man. And he never said anything about it, and I was like,
it's a tough one, though. Because I know what you're saying. You were in the dressing room, obviously I wasn't there. But if you go for him, like, you can miss a penalty, can't you?
No, it wasn't the fact that I missed the penalty. It was the fact of the behaviour that went along with it. It's grabbing the penalty, like when Leighton Baines is a penalty taker.
Aye.
Because Morales has won it, and if you do that, you've got to score. You've got to score.
Oh,
you can't miss me.
If that was in the dressing room I was in, I would have been definitely.
Martinez is just wanting Jason Derulo on after the game, funny. Have you seen that?
So out of character as well, mate.
Is
honestly, so out of character, mate.
Like, or is he not like that now?
I was like, that isn't, that can't be him.
Robbie, dancing.
You seen it?
I played
Did you play with him?
Of course.
That's not out of character.
Of course.
Absolutely not out of
character.
What
is he?
Oh, brilliant guy.
Is he, huh? Proper on it?
Aye.
But like tonight out and stuff like that?
Aye, well, when he was playing, aye, he did. Aye, dancing and all that. Aye,
it's
not surprising.
Well, obviously, I'm judging him as a manager, yeah, when you see he's totally
aye,
different.
He was a funny
bit.
Guy. Uh-huh. Really
was he funny?
Aye, he was a funny guy.
What, in terms of pattern, like?
Great patter.
Did he?
Aye, wore the worst gear ever. And he used to get slaughtered for all the time. They'd just be jealous and all that. Uh-huh. They like wee daft things. Aye, was good.
He missed my the bird for Bovo, didn't he?
Aye. Aye, his missus is from aye, Scotland,
good,
aye.
Good character.
We'll not start talking about women for Bovo. I'll go on for ages.
My missus isn't a bubble.
You both played against Ronaldo. What was he like?
Aye, it was a joke. He was younger when I played against him.
Was he then on the step?
He was, but he was like, you know, it was probably the time where he was still like throwing himself to the ground and diving and that. But we played a game once at Old Trafford, and it must have been really early, and we were getting beaten. He's messing about in the corner, and Tony Hibbert went in, absolutely smashed him, didn't move. Wayne Rooney went in, smashed him. I went in to try and smash him, didn't move.
Oh, really?
I was strong, even then, strong. So he could stand up to it when he wanted to.
Wow.
But it was an unbelievable player.
Nah, for what he's done in football, you can't argue him and how Messi would probably be. I mean, how can you be up for like, win five Ballon d'Ors and be second another six or seven?
Just Tony Hibbert or Ronaldo you're talking about?
No, it's Ozzy. Leon Osman.
What a player. You're
one leg shot of the nil. One leg shot of the nil.
Aye.
Aye. No way.
Always wears a thing, like, and he always gets his boots modified, and his flip flops, mate. One big massive flip flop, that thick.
If he's not got normal. Sure, his flip flop, he just wears one.
And his boots are the same?
Uh-huh.
He's got like a wee wedge. Did they tell you the story when he got his first suit measured?
No.
He was like 18, went to get his suit measured, and the guy measured his short leg.
The guy
measured the short leg. He never even says to him, oh, by the way, that one's short
now. Oh, amazing.
What a player, by the way.
Is he Osman?
Incredible.
I did like him as a football player.
He was a really, really good player.
Great guy, I know.
So when did you play against Ronaldo?
Loads of times. Celtic.
At Man United?
Celtic, Man United, Ireland, Portugal. Loads of times, but never really done... Never
amazing
really
in the games.
Done amazing in the games right. Whenever I played against them, which is weird. It's not like I played against them 100
Paul
times,
was
but
him
Paul
that.
Telfer had him in tops, mate, and nails. But yeah, like, comparing him to like Messi, people always have that argument. I just, whenever I played against Messi, Messi's literally been on a different planet. Not to say Ronaldo's not with everything he's done in football, but.
I know the argument's always going to be there, isn't it?
But it's a personal preference, isn't it?
Such different players.
Yeah, it's personal preference, isn't it?
Who's yours?
I would probably go on natural ability and go for Messi.
Messi,
I think, but Ronaldo, the way that he's dedicated his life to become what he is, I wouldn't argue. I honestly wouldn't argue. If you think it's Ronaldo, great. Think it's Messi, great. I wouldn't really argue with it.
See, saying that the other day about how well he's changed his game to be just clinical striker. He used to be the winger, but doing stepovers when the end product. That's what people said, and he just went, nah, I'm just going 50 goals a season. Mm-hmm. But that argument of to how he's dedicated his life to football, but then you see him playing for Man United and Cavani's running past him to close somebody down and he's walking about, then I'm like, well, where's the professionalism on the park?
Aye.
Like, I know you can do everything off the park and you don't drink, you don't eat sweets or drink coke or anything like that, and you've absolutely unbelievable physique, but why are you not running on the park then?
Yeah.
Which is my argument just now, but maybe just doesn't want him, and he's like, oh, get me out of here.
Exactly. What era Man United size did you play? You spoke about it on the Koopman shows. So yours was Van Nistelrooy.
Aye, Van Nistelrooy. I think I missed Beckham, he might have left. Giggs, Scholes.
How was Scholes? Brilliant.
Phenomenal. They were all brilliant. Like, we used to play, them, and they would sometimes leave like the big hitters on the bench.
Against Everton as well, you were like fifth in the league.
Might have a chance, yeah. But then they would just bring them on, they were.
Somebody said to me before that you actually get loads of time on the ball at Old Trafford, they let you have it.
They don't let you have it. It's just when you move up for the, like, I played a year in the Championship, but when you play against the big teams, they're no like, they just go right. Our right back, if I'm playing left wing, our right back is better than you. So I don't need to double up on him.
Yeah.
He'll just deal with you.
Yeah.
So you did get a wee bit more time. It wasn't like you were having to dribble by loads of players or take loads of players on. They just go, right, well, he'll take the ball off of you, so it's fine. I don't need to worry about it.
Yeah.
But they were a phenomenal team. Them and I'm sure the Arsenal Invincibles were about at that time, I know, and it was...
Just,
these teams were brilliant, right? But they could bully off the park. So it wasn't like, right, we'll get in their faces. Obviously, you tried to do it, but they could stand up to that.
Yeah,
no problem at all.
Nigel Winterburn.
Carrick, I know. Carrick.
Carrick, what?
Carrick.
Chatted
with
the Carrick, didn't he? Carrick was, but I love Carrick as well.
They were some team.
And what was yours, Champions League? I remember watching the two games. Was it Tommy Gravison played them on? Remember it was a green and black strip?
Yeah,
were left mid, weren't you?
Yeah,
Neville was right back.
Yeah,
what was that? You had a beast?
Yeah, I had a beast, mate, aye.
Who you did, or?
Aye, I had a beast. I got whipped after at 65 at Old Trafford. Naka scored a free kick, didn't he?
That's
and Hessling
right.
scored.
Yeah.
That was one of the games, but I had a beast that game anyway.
How was Genev to play against?
I think you asked me this before, uh-huh. actually. It was actually like thought on another day I'd be like, I'd quite like to play against him.
Yeah.
In a weird way, because I don't think he'd get tight to you, but then I think you could always. I spun him in behind a couple of times, and then when I got it 1v1, I went past him once and ended up getting a corner. I was like, took a wee bit of optimism from that, thinking, I'm not sure he's as good as I thought he was, or
so
he's as good as everybody thinks.
So, did you yourself out of a performance that
night? No, honestly, it wasn't anything to do with that. It was generally like I was getting the ball in the middle of the park with no one around me, and try to play a diag and it going out of play. So it wasn't anything to do with not getting by Gary Neville. I just didn't play well, do you know what I mean?
Just a normal game for Si.
For me, Si Ferry. Yeah.
Coming again on Saturday, isn't it? Who's got Saturday?
Oh, man, I don't want to talk about Saturday. Who stood out for you then when you've played them? Who was good?
Man United.
Yeah.
Scholes, just about how good he was. Like, I think when you come from Scotland and you're not playing the Premier League and you play Champions League against Man United, you're always going, oh, let's see how good these guys are firsthand and on the park, and you just watch Scholes, like Carrick, you said. Carrick was always one for me that I used to go, he's so underrated. The ball would come into him when he'd go first time round the corner, left foot into the striker's feet. And I'm like,
But they were always in space. Rangers pulls off into 10, didn't he? You know they're getting space. You see them 1 minute, then it's like 10 yards of space. Yeah. You can't make that distance up. It's just their intelligence they got on the ball. And then you do get there, and you, as you say, it's like bang, first time. So then
first
you're
time
like,
round the corner.
How do I get in? Because if I go and stand tight, they'll find space. If I go and try and press them, they just hit it first time. Phenomenal players.
It's like they almost want you to press them.
Oh, definitely.
It's like they want you to press them so that you're in your shape, and it's like, right, Carrot's got the ball, takes one touch. Right, let's go and get him. He's like, yes, here we go. They're out of shape now. Bang, 1-2 round. I found that always against the best players.
Big guy, athletic.
Brilliant. But Rooney was there as well. He was...
So see, even at Everton, was Rooney miles better than everyone else, even at 16 in the first team?
I think he was 17 when I got there, and he was only there for a year, but it was just unbelievable at Everton. Just fit, strong, quick. He used to go out in the morning, and like when you went out to the old training ground, it was like the pitches were kind of ruin the building, so there'd just be like spare balls lying about. He'd just be like crossbar, fair anywhere, bang, half a bar. But he'd go like, oh, did you see that? That was good, wasn't it?
Could he have been in the bracket with Messi and Ronaldo if he dedicated himself the way they did, Jank?
I think so. I think for a large part of his career, I think he's extremely underrated. Mm. I think he's been undervalued because of maybe how his career ended. But the Euros, when he went to the Euros 2004, I think it was, if he never got injured, he'd have won it.
It was 18, incredible.
What he was doing to these
Thuram
top
players.
The documentary where I forgot about that. He's running past Thuram for pace and bullying him. Totally forgot about this.
He was incredible.
So I think you're right.
I think for a spell, underrated. You look at playing with Ronaldo and Tevez and that front three, he'd play in the left or he'd play in the right. Yeah. He'd just done it. And they would all score loads of goals. Ronaldo obviously scored the most, but he'd just done whatever he had to do for the team. But it was like, he'd go, oh, I fancy playing midfield. And he'd get the goalie gloves on and go in goals for shooting and that. And it'd be incredible. It was just that kind of freak of nature.
Freak of his.
Like, so technically, naturally gifted.
Does he love a can of
I think he likes it.
Continuing on that theme, Moyes obviously went to Man United. Did you always feel you'd be able to do that job?
I've never played or I've been involved at Man United, so I know that the expectation levels are through the roof, as you can see with the last few years, well, the last since Alex Ferguson left. But I think his strengths as a manager, I felt as though he's so organised, he set such a high standard that I felt he could go there and do well. I really do, because he built Everton, taking them from when I went in to a team that nearly got relegated, and then within a year to be Champions League qualification, to be a team that was talked about for getting into Europe every year, on a shoestring. I think his net spend was at one point something like £2 million, which is absolutely incredible to build a team through that. So I felt as though Man United at the time needed a big rebuild, and if you're going to do that, you need time. You can't continue with instant success when you're trying to rebuild. There was a lot of players that were potentially coming to the end, but at the same time, totally different style and character to Alex Ferguson. Mm. So going in there and using his style would have been difficult at any team, but if you're following a manager that we were always organised, it was always, what's the opponent's strengths? How can we stop them playing to allow us to play? We need to work incredibly. Know that the top teams don't, but it was all about, right, work hard, just run, getting the faces, press. And Man United were used to being, yous are the best team. Mm. Don't bother about the weaknesses and strengths of other teams, yous are the best. So I think that was probably a difficult thing for him, because he's a brilliant manager.
Is he?
Brilliant. Like, his attention to detail is frightening. Mm. Like, if you were playing against his team, he'd show 20, 30 clips of you with receiving the ball and say, right, this is how he receives it. This is what he does. Like, stop him. Mm. just attention to detail.
We're going
to
get your honesty.
Why did you say him there? Why did you say him there?
There would be
many clubs times receiving the ball.
There wouldn't be any clubs of you receiving it, mate. Hiding
just,
the receiver.
Just use me as an example.
Clubs him like that. Standing close to the striker so you couldn't get the ball.
When you had your hair like a young Frank McAvaney.
I was actually not bad back then. I went down the after 16, mate. Which is never good. I want to see your honesty here. Was Fellaini good enough for Man United? Nah.
Who?
Fellaini. I thought it was an obvious signing that Fellaini was. He was brilliant in our team for what he'd done. He could play a lot of different positions within that midfield, play as a striker. I don't think it was a bad decision to take him in, but you know, it didn't work out for him towards the end, but you could say that about most of the players at that time. You know, they've underachieved massively since then.
Right, enough about that muck, Man United. We're on Chelsea v Tottenham. What about Tuchel and Conte on the side? People say there's scenes we didn't want to see, but of course it is.
It's exactly what everybody wants to see. It's not that there was anything bad happening. They were just a coming together of two passionate managers. Tuchel's just get celebrated the equaliser. Or was the equaliser win? It was like 96 minutes.
I think Tottenham only. Tuchel celebrated to go.
Aye, right, okay. Yeah. But like two passionate managers who are celebrating and. You know, it's a London derby. It's what everybody wants to see. It's not as long as it doesn't go too far, which I don't think it did.
No.
Absolutely brilliant. Great entertainment.
I loved it. It was that type of game as well. It was a game great that game, was fiercely contested. You could tell it was a derby. You tell how much it meant. And the two managers, like Conte, you know, that's he's fiery. Mm-hmm. You know,
he punches. He
looks like
he'd
fight anybody. He looks like he
doesn't seem
to
ever smile. Does he, Conte?
Conte punches fuck out of Tuchel 100%.
No. DeCanio.
DeCanio
batters Conte. I think Conte batters Tuchel though.
So do easy, I. Mate. Skin Tuchel, and bone.
I felt as though.
He looks like loads of weight. Lost loads of weight, huh?
Like, Tuchel?
Aye.
Does
Herb life
leave
there,
doesn't he?
Really?
Does Herb life
leave there?
Midge
sort them out.
But biggest dust ups, you seen any during the Premier League? Team Rammies are in and nah.
No, Premier League I've never really seen many. Nah, like Ram, like I think I was compared to Scotland. Like, how many fights did you see in Scotland? Like, apart from me, apart from me and Arthur, you never really see punches getting thrown, do you? It's like pushing each other, then it gets split up. But when I told you when I was in Russia, mate, like they used to just let people fight.
So the manager
would be like, let it go. Just let it go, and like. Two guys would be thrown haymakers for 20 seconds each other. Aye. And then it would just be like, I seen one, mate, it was absolutely incredible, mate. Like, I told you about the big striker Zuba, fight, like, he'd batter him, mate.
The captain,
Spanish boy got in a fight with him, but it was like haymakers for 25 seconds. I was going, I wonder who won that fight. Spanish boy came off, mate, blood everywhere.
Wow.
And then the man just went, right, that's it. But I seen another one, mate, it was just incredible. Like, mind the striker Emmanuel Emenike, he went to West Ham. Emenike, so we had him, right, and he was dead fiery, but we had the centre half, the centre for Man United, Marcus Rojo.
He
was seen training, mate, he would destroy people like with tackles, like really, really bad tackles. He's done a really bad tackle in one of the Brazilians, and then Emenike's got his back up about it, and he's like, what are you playing at? Like, why are you doing this in training? Him and Rojo start arguing, but Rojo can't speak in English. They start arguing, then a Spanish boy who speaks English, the Spanish boy that got battered off Zuba, he gets involved again, mate. I don't know why he gets involved again.
The Spanish Aidan McGeady.
No, I'm standing there going like that, mate, leave it. He starts getting involved and he's like, yeah, you speak too much, you, Emenike, speak too much. And Emenike starts going like that, you, fuck you, to right in his face. And I was like, this is going to go mental, man. And they've like ended up like carried on. And it's like got to the edge of the pitch and we're all standing drinking the water and they've carried on arguing. And Emenike's like right in his face and the Spanish boy goes, yeah, you. And then goes like that. Emenike's seen it coming a mile off, mate. Mike Tyson reflexes, ducks, grabs him, chucks him onto the deck, starts going like this right in his face. And
I'm booting him?
Aye, booting him, mate. And I'm standing, the Spanish centre half's lying the deck, mate. And Emenike's like this, bang.
He's a punch bag,
mate.
Hang you up, Ninja.
This is the last guy you've got to get involved with.
I was just standing there going like that.
But see, being you the way you are, no saying that you're argumentative, but you've got an opinion. Did you ever get in?
I got I got a really.
He didn't, because he knew they'd just let it go. There was nobody to jump in.
I had got involved in arguments and stuff like that, and opinions or whatever, but I did get one where I thought I was the big man with this Brazilian boy. He's done a bad tackle in training, and I've like left the ball, and I'm going, like, what are you doing? Didn't even get his the words out of my mouth, and he's went like, big bang. Didn't even get the words.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Do you know what I mean? I was like, I'm like, how are you doing, mate? Like, bang. No, I didn't follow me, but my eye burst open, and I was like, oh my God, man.
Oh, fuck. You say they never get involved in anything.
That was the one fight I got involved in, I was like, never again, mate.
Did you go back? Because you're game, aren't you? Did you go back?
There was loads of people involved, and I was like, oh, I need to get involved, man. Like, need to get back. I can't take this. And I was like, done. Manager's like, in you go. Then we had a gym session at 2:30, mate. And I'm walking down the gym, man, like this, with the eye burst open. Doing weights, man, seeing the Brazilian boy going. That was the one and only time I was like, I kind of get involved again, man. Yeah. Too quick for you.
See, my mother, did Scott McDonald though get punched about? Was it Richie Foran? I remember hearing. Were you there for then?
No, I wasn't there. I think I've heard.
Scotty can handle himself though, mate.
Can he?
Yeah? Aye, Scotty can handle himself. Like,
if he'd need it.
I know.
He was always arguing, wasn't he? So Scotty can go with me, but can
I think
he?
Scotty can, aye.
Oh, was it no? And you're doing that a couple of times even.
Scotty was one of them in a night out as well where he'd actually be like ridiculously, like, not rude, but just like fans would ask him for photos. He'd be like, nah, not a night out.
That's rude. That's rude, mate. I don't know what your definition of rude is, but that's rude.
Well, again, though, I was out on Friday, Saturday night, and I was in a bar now. The West Ends and finished in somewhere, and I walked in, the Morellas was sitting in the corner, we always pals, don't know, like, just sitting with the hats on, mate, just in the corner like that, like, not even dancing, mate, or drinking, I don't know, mate, I was like, each to their own, but people were going up and asking pictures, and he was turning them away, and I was like, do you know what, fair play as well, because see if you indulge one, then the whole bar will come
the
across,
night you're taking, you know, pictures, uh-huh.
So, I get that as well, but I would say it's rude, aye. But
Scotty never.
Scotty's not good enough to do that. He's
got a bat on you, mate. He's just telling you can handle it. You know, he'll be on the phone again as soon as this goes out.
No, you'll not be, mate. He's too streetwise now, mate. Too cute, like media manager. Like in the past, mate, you're getting a phone call after this.
He pulled Beats up. See, when I interviewed Beats told the story about him, and Scotty was on Twitter straight away, quote tweeting it, load of shite, talking load of fucking nonsense.
That's right. It was when Beats did we win the league or Scotty won? Scotty scored the 2 goals from Motherwell against Celtic.
I think it was then.
And it was on a night out or something. That's like that. Right. And Beats is saying that he said something to him, and Scotty like said, "Nah, I done this. I just took the league away for you or something."
Yeah,
like,
something.
And then Scotty's like, "I was on a flight." That's absolute lies, mate. Beats is like,
"Sounded good."
What a guy, Beats. Is Conte giving Spurs the edge that they've missed?
Aye.
Man United should have got Conte now.
I'm a Pochettino in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think at the time though, Gary Neville was quite vocal about no having a manager like
not
that.
Not Conte, was
because
he?
It was like they tried it with Mourinho, Van Gaal, and they wanted somebody that could that basically wasn't going to be there for 2 years. But aye, I think that Conte is I think he's amazing. Yeah. Gets his teams, you know, playing a certain way, they're all fit, they all buy into what he wants. And I think Spurs will do well. He's played his first two games. He's not started any of his new players yet.
That's quite sensible, no?
Well, I think
the way
so.
They ended last season.
I think so, and I think it shows you how strong they can be. That they're basically still saying, look, this is a group. You just need to fight to get in this. Mm. And I think he could make the difference for Spurs. What's the difference? Being up in the run.
Could they get third?
Oh, definitely. Mm. Win a trophy. I don't see why not, because of the demands he puts on his players, because he's history. You know, he comes in and he fixes teams. Now, yeah. I know he always ends up falling out with people, but he falls out with people because if you look at, he comes in, does what's required at that point with what he has.
And then he wants
tells him what he needs to fix it and make it better and take them on to the next level. Get to the next level. Tells him what he needs to take them on again. Doesn't get it and leaves. Mm-hmm. So I think he's a top manager, and I think a lot of the Man United fans will be wishing that he was there for them, no doubt.
Well, I think at the time though, Man United fans were probably like, nah, Conte wouldn't suit us. We want attacking football. Conte's more of a counter-attacking manager, isn't he? He sent his team up like Spurs at the weekend, not to really have the ball, but be counter-attacking. Whereas Man United fans were probably like, nah, we don't want Conte, man. He's too negative. Yeah. And now they're probably, like you said, wishing that they actually did watch him.
Even just watching him on the touchline. Yesterday, they'd have been like, we want a manager that wants to fight.
Passion. Yeah.
We'd take that.
And two experts on it as well. What do you think he's new here?
Top drawer. By the way, he's honest. Have you seen the picture of him before?
Before, mate. Oh, my. It's like, I'll be Nova's picture.
He's actually 20 years younger.
It's like, I think the ground's went too far apart. It's absolutely top drawer.
Incredible, mate. But he always seems to wear a hat, doesn't he? Like when it's raining and that, though.
No, why not?
I bet it's... I think he's a bit of style, though, like...
What is it? He said about
10 times, mate, and he'd just get that bowl cut.
Is it bowl cut?
Monk hairdo, isn't he? Like, surely he's got a wee bit of product in it or something.
What do you want?
Wee bit of product, mate, skin fade or something. Do you know what I mean, Faddy?
I don't see him being a skin fade.
Is that what you was getting now, skin fades?
Can I get too close to the skin?
So you kind of cut it too short?
I just get a, obviously, not a very good one.
What do you got in the size?
Private size, a one.
A one? Your skin fade?
Scandalous.
He's looking great. Talking of rivalries, Conor Cody's joined Merseyside rivals. Everton played with Liverpool as a kid. Is it not as big as it is up here?
No.
Is it Kiddy on?
It's no Kiddy.
No, I think it's Kiddy on, mate. I think it's Kiddy on, mate. It's not Kiddy on, right?
He played for Everton. It's Kiddy on.
This is why he's good to
him. Well, no, but I did play for Everton, but there was some lads at Everton who were working at the club who were Liverpool fans, and then I'd say they'd be like getting worried about the game, like the derby on the Saturday, and I'd be like, is it a proper derby? And they're like, oh, wait till you see it, man. Played at Anfield, not a word, like comparing to like Celtic Rangers, mate. You're at Anfield away and you're like, this is going to be intense.
That's a difficult one. It's no.
But you can't have people who are in the same family travelling to the game, and one supports Liverpool, one supports Everton.
And they sit together.
That's not quite the same rivalry for me as a Celtic and Rangers.
No, there are a lot of mixed families. A lot of mixed where they do live together.
I don't need to be diplomatic though, to be fair, because I didn't really have a good time at Everton. You did.
It's still a big rivalry though. Like, no, day-to-day life, it's not the same as...
No.
Like, they all live together, they all work together, they all know the red and blue, they all know that. The week leading up to it probably changes a wee bit, but it's no nasty. It's not in danger of kicking off.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, there will be times where it probably has it in certain parts, but it's no like, they live together. Like, Conor Cody's come out and spoke about, everybody knows he's a Liverpool fan, but he spoke about his cousins, his uncles, people in his family are boys. It is mixed. Mm-hmm. But it's no, like, people usually label it the friendly rivalry. It's no friendly, because you want to beat your rivals, but...
Because he shares a flat with you in Rush, doesn't he?
But
apart from that, I think he's a brilliant signing.
Last season,
Everton didn't have enough leaders, and I think he brings that. He's obviously not going to be the captain, but... You know yourself, it doesn't mean that you wear an armband that you can't be a leader and be a captain on the pitch. So I think it's a brilliant signing.
What about your experiences in Merseyside derbies? Just playing any?
No great for me.
Beat every time, Faddy?
When I played, we won, I don't know, maybe one or two.
And why was that? Were Liverpool just were they a good side at the time?
Aye, they were a good side. But I don't know. We just never seemed to do well against them. I think maybe I didn't start many. Started one at Anfield and I think we all start. Beat them a couple of times. But it was always you wanted to obviously beat your rivals, but just it's not the same when you're not playing all the time. So see if you go and you're not involved or you're on the bench and you get 10 minutes, it's yeah, all right, I technically have played in it, but you don't get the full kind of build up and walking out, and so it's a wee bit different.
What about you?
Exact same bonus for you. Like, bench, I'm trying to think if I started. No, I've 100% when I started one. Came on a few times. I think one of my first games was we lost 4-5 at Anfield. Suarez scored a hat trick, I think. Suarez was unbelievable that night. Just weren't at the same level, really. One at Anfield where Jagielka scored that goal. You know, the half volley outside their foot. Actually, I hit the cross in, it got headed out. Obviously, it got headed out. It wasn't a good ball.
That's it.
Headed straight out, man.
They call it a
pre. Goal, but.
Is that not a pre-assist now? There's a name for
half
that.
Half an assist, innit?
The assist.
Nah, that was it. But that was like unbelievable because we're losing 1-0 and it was like an unbelievable strike and we were like backs to the wall and we ended up drawing 1-0. It almost felt like a win. But aye, every other time really just end up
What about Lukaku, strongest man in the world?
Aye, one of the strongest I've came across, aye. But like five kilo dumbbells in the gym.
What do you mean?
You know what happened, mate?
He'd lift 5 kilo dumbbells?
You know, like one of those guys who's just naturally strong, but couldn't lift a weight and or didn't do weights and couldn't really do weights properly, but like, if he wanted to, he could probably put himself through a wall. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, one of the strongest guys ever, where like you play against him and he'd throw you in the deck in training and you're just like, I wish I had that strength, man. I would be absolutely pinning life out.
Yeah. Barkley was the same time he played ever.
Just pinning people, mate, on the wing like that. Back to
you can't ever roll it back.
Imagine being that strong though, like when you just know anybody you come up against can't even compete with you in that level. Like
Without even trying.
You said Barkley was the same in terms of strength.
Barkley was the same, mate. Like,
he's linked with Celtic again. Would that be a good thing for Celtic?
I think he would be he would be for Celtic, mate.
Phenomenal player.
Was he a kid when you were there?
Technically very good, aye.
So what age would he have been like?
He'd have been really young when you were there. Because he was young when I was there.
He was in the first team though.
At 16, he broke his leg, didn't he?
When did you sign?
2014.
I left in 2012.
So he was still
so he was there, aye. He was in.
He must have been really young.
Was he a Rooney type at that age, like a man?
Aye, strong. I don't know what age he was. He must have been about 18, maybe. 17,
I think he made
18.
His debut. I think I remember seeing him make his debut when he was like 16 for Everton. And he was like, the physique he is, maybe not quite as big as he is now, but when I went there, people were saying to me, oh, have you seen, like, I knew obviously some of the lads there from Ireland and stuff, James and Seamus and that, and they were like, I was saying, oh, what's the standard like and that? And they're like, have you seen Ross in training? And I'm like, no, they're like, mate, wait till you see this guy in training, man.
Aye.
Just like, what, 6'1", 6'1", 6'1", built like a boxer, mate, like a middleweight boxer, ripped, shredded, like strong, quick, left foot, right foot, could beat players, just kind of had everything, mate, at like 18.
Was he the best player in training then?
He would have been one of them, aye. Just that strong, well, you know, you get close to him and he's running with the ball and people would kind of bounce off him and he hadn't even realised that he'd tried to knock them off the ball or he tried to hold on to the ball, people just bounce off him.
It's like when you had a come through as a young boy, you'd obviously had the skills, but you'd had to
not
build
physique,
up.
No.
So you're maybe getting caught because of that, but like him and Rooney and that coming through, they're already men, they don't need to develop.
Yeah.
They're already like bullying people and
bullying
them
people
off.
18 years old.
What kind of guy is he? Good guy?
He's a good guy.
Oh, yes, he's quite quiet, to be fair. Quite quiet, like, not, and quite, from an athlete, quite level headed as well, you know, not big because he was getting like by loads of big moves, wasn't he? Like when he was at Everton. Not big headed either, quite a big
guy. He's got a big head, don't he?
he will phone me in Bartlett.
That's what you're doing. That's not Bartlett going in Bartlett. Well, why didn't you mention that? Because you mentioned Seamus Coleman. He watches it. He's messaged me a couple of times. He's going to come on when he retires. He seems like a top man, is he?
What a guy.
Great guy.
Is he?
Great guy.
He seems like the most unassuming Premier League football player of all time.
Yeah, he probably.
Still wearing Adidas
trackies. He always says to me, like, I'll never forget, like, the first time I turned up to Ireland, and he used to be like, he was like a Gaelic, he was like really, really good at Gaelic football.
Yeah.
And he kind of, I think he came on trial with Celtic when he was about 18, 19, and we never signed him, mate. And
because he had cats.
He came to Birmingham as well.
So he came to Birmingham as well. No one signed him, mate, apart from Everton. 60 grand he cost. Then look at how well he's done for Everton. But he got in the Ireland team and he turned up, and I don't really know much about him. And he was wearing these black Umbro boots, mate. And I went, mate, get them off, man. Don't come near training with anyone. And he always brings it up. He's like, I'm a young lad, you know, trying to get involved with the first team and look up to you, and you're batting me for my boots. I'm like, to be fair, you will be on the referee's boots, mate.
And how was he when he came on title, weren't we?
I don't remember.
I just remember him running a bit daft when he came.
I think he came in when it was an international break, because everybody says, oh, he was at Birmingham, and we'd signed the boy Jay O'Shea as well. I don't remember them being there on trial. So it must have been when I wasn't there, but I remember him, obviously, Everton, he was still young, he'd been loan to Blackpool.
I didn't notice him at Celtic on trial, you didn't notice him at Birmingham trial. Wasn't good enough, mate.
That's not good enough at the time, Seamus. Unbelievable, but professional, every day, day and extra. Always
was he?
Aye, brilliant, always want to learn, always want to get better. And he got his rewards for it.
He tried to get Big Dunk for us for the Hydro, but Big Dunk was like, I wouldn't do any of that.
Ah, that's true. I found his, as well.
What do you think?
I'd have got him.
Oh, would you?
You never asked
me. Right,
but
we're doing it again, so you can get that. There's your challenge. What were you going to say, Aaron?
No, I was just going to say about Seamus in terms of like how he's developed that. But see, because he's obviously captain at Everton now, and that kind of old school mentality of respect, aye, young lads and jobs and that sort of stuff, is kind of, it's gone out the game. It's gone out the game quite a bit, hasn't it? Because you need to watch the way you speak to players now, and managers aren't as ruthless and as hard. But I found that he was captain at Everton, and he would still stick to those values. So like some of the things he'd done, I was like, 100% right, mate. But they would rub people up the wrong way, but they were 100% right. But I was going, that's absolute class.
Well, can you give us an example?
Do you remember Finch Farm? He had the pool, and then you'd put the jacuzzi in the back.
Aye.
So I mean, if I'm a young lad, mate, and there's a first team player and doing rehab, I'm not jumping in a jacuzzi with my phone. And he was in doing his rehab, and there was like two other lads in doing rehab in the pool. And there was like 10 of young lads, like 10 of the resis, sitting in the hot tub on their phone. And he actually just got out of the pool and was like, what are you playing at? Get out.
Good.
And they were like, oh, we're just sitting here. He was like, I don't care, first team in here. It's not, this isn't David Lloyd. You know, this isn't a David Lloyd. Like,
this isn't like a
spa. Like,
yeah.
Get in the pool and do some stretches and do like a cool down, or get out. Like, this isn't a chill out place. And they were all just like, got the tools and walked out. And I was like, love it.
Good.
I was like, love it.
That's brilliant.
I love that.
Amazing. Right, last few bit, lads. It's been fucking brilliant. Dressing room. What's the difference between Scottish dressing room, Faddy, moving to the English one? Pattern's not the same, is it?
It's different. It's definitely
reserved.
Different. It's just a different type of banter. I don't know how to describe it. It's just, you're not funny
to them.
So you're just a wee idiot, aren't you?
Skips
is a horrible part.
I know you're going to say proper Cockneys
and Scousers.
They're only Geordies, I would say.
Geordies
are people from Sunderland or from the North East.
Yeah.
Like, from kind of working class area, like...
Did you say Geordies are for Sunderland?
I said...
just want to piss everybody off, aren't you?
I'm saying...
It's not even a derby. Geordies
and people from the North East. Actually, I can't believe I say people from Sunderland, but Sunderland's quite a small place. But Geordies, North East, I always find that people from kind of more working class areas, aye, Glasgow especially, like...
Yeah.
Don't know, there's something about the patter and the humour. It's just different.
Aye. Because I was a young boy going into Liverpool, it was very similar. And I was like... I went in as a... I thought I was signing as a first team player, but I was quickly reminded that I was done as a young player.
You so never got put in the resi dressing room, did you?
Aye. Did you, aye?
No way.
Must I tell you this? Nah.
Did they not sign you for like a good bit of money?
So I just signed on the Monday, I think, but I had a Scotland game, so I went away and played away on international duty, I'm sure. And then I come back.
Was that a wee better? That was a heavy defeat as well.
No, I think we won.
All right, okay, sorry.
It was Faroe Islands, we won. when I come down, like I'm ready to go. I've played, I don't know, 60 odd games for Motherwell, just played for Scotland. The kit men and that were brilliant. They're like, you're in there beside, I can't remember who it was, so I'm just about to get changed in the dressing room. Moyes come in, he's like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm just getting changed for training. He's like, no, I'm here, you know.
Did you still have the red mohawk and that with a bit of the back? Is that what he's done it?
Maybe. But he says, no, you're in there. And it was like, The old training ground was old, but the dressing room was quite big. But the young boys trained in like a tiny, like probably the size of this. So if you just put that to the lights, that size. No, you're training in there. Oh,
training in there?
You're changing in there.
Oh, right, okay.
I'm like, oh, come on. But I was in with like Ozzy and...
It's quite good though. I would say it was brilliant. Good management, aye.
Yeah. Because then you get to know
younger boys as well.
And you did have a laugh. But it was like, they did. You're getting into then an even smaller environment with young boys that have been together for years with their own banter. And you're like... At first,
you're
going, this is absolutely horrendous.
Tony Hibbert,
like
a few
words. Lee Hibbert, what a guy, man.
Is he a good guy?
Oh, brilliant. What a guy.
Hey, he played somewhere like 300 odd games, didn't he?
Everything's shite to him.
Everything's shite, isn't it?
Scored his only goal, didn't he, in his testimonial? His only goal for Everton, mate.
He's got an actual goal.
His only ever goal, mate, was in his own testimonial.
Wow. Was he there when you were?
Hard as nails.
I remember him being tough.
Very underrated, I thought, as well.
Was he a good player, was he?
Aye, like, do you know what? Not. You wouldn't say brilliant on the ball technically, but like defensively, I'd always. You never really seen a winger like rip him up, did you?
You'd put in a good crosser.
Aye, good delivery, to be fair.
Very good player. He's got a lake in France now, he lives in France.
No way.
Does he actually live in France? I mean, he was talking about that. I don't know if he's still there.
He's bought a lake.
Oh, what a guy. You can get him on. Would you any be on?
Pebble, just say Everton.
That's what I want, mate.
Negative the better. No, Everton just shite. Great guy.
You'd lived in like a council house in Liverpool now, aren't he's living in a vineyard in France.
I don't know if he's got a vineyard, but he's got a lake that you can go and fish.
Fishing?
No, he's 100%. It was like a fishery, like, because they had it when I was there and they used to talk about it.
Great guy, man.
What a podcast this is. Nobody would have known that about Tony Hibbert ever, eh? Brilliant, well done, used to. He's a flying. What about you coming back for Russia? An English dressing room, you must have just been delighted to get.
I wasn't late to get back. Like, I'd been nearly 4 years of speaking Russian and trying to latch on to any foreigner that spoke English at all whatsoever. Latching on to me, mate.
Did you get any ones that were no good to you, but just because he spoke English young about?
There was a couple. One straight away, swings down. No. Straight away, mate.
If there's anybody that spoke English, I didn't want it to be you.
Straight away. As soon as I walked, there was a big centre-half, big Austrian boy, Martin Stranzo, his name was.
Sounds like a great guy, right?
He's not listening to this podcast in Austria, mate, but great guy, but like...
Tommy Grabson thinks a whole of Britain listens to this podcast.
He's not listening to this podcast. But I was like walking into that and... You're kind of, no one speaks English. It wasn't very westernised at the time, so you're latching on to MD that speaks English at all whatsoever, and like, fancy a night out, big man, we'll go for dinner, and like, after half an hour, you're like, what am I doing?
Was he a boring bastard?
No, it was just different, you know what I mean? Different, like, not probably not, if it was a dressing room of all English people or Scottish people, probably no one that you would pick to hang about with, but...
So the was last guy you picked to hang about with?
Probably, yeah. No, it was a nice guy, but just different from me. But because he spoke English, I was like, oh, what are we doing this weekend, mate? Fans go to cinema or something?
Was there a wee bit
he's
of
like, man, I speak Scottish guy, He's like a Russian boy, man, this guy's doing my nothing.
He's on the Austrian podcast going, he's like, oh, I ain't McGee.
Oh, man, to the day I used to get landed with him, man.
Do you want to go for a walk? Do you want to go to the park?
Is that not a bit of dread going in there every day?
Just like the first thing you walk in, mate, it was just like all Russian lads, like all foreigners and Did they not like the foreigners?
Or were they all right?
No, the Russian people are quite, they're quite closed and quite cold. They're quite difficult to get to know. So at the start, it was like, you know, like first day at school, where everybody's just staring at you. Come up and shaking your hand, but like that. Not interested in knowing you. And then you're sitting in a meeting and the manager just starts belting out Russian. And you're just sitting there like, don't even know what's going on here. The Russian lads were all good lads, mate. See, by the end, like, and you actually got to know them and break through that kind of barrier, they were all good lads.
Yeah.
Like, just kind of like head down, work hard, loved a night out. Brazilian lads, mate, they were brilliant to me.
You'd go about with the Brazilian boys?
Aye, so Brazilians, Argentinians, and a couple of them spoke good English. So then they would all hang about together and I would kind of jump in with them as well. And they'd be like, oh, do you want to come the night out? And you'd end up going to the house for a barbecue or something. Really good team, to be fair. Really good team, like a really good squad.
And then you went in that Everton dressing room. Who were good guys in there? Was Eto'o a hero? You've obviously
he's a good guy. He knew what he was, do you know what I mean? Yeah. He knew what he was. Like, he'd done it at the highest level.
Would he say that quite a bit?
Oh, yeah. He knew, and he'd be talking about stuff and cars and all that and talking about his properties and stuff. And you just knew he was on a different level to the rest of us. He was on a different level, but he just kind of didn't really care, which he was at that stage of his career, he didn't care, like, about what he said to upset people.
Yeah.
But getting the vibe off him, I don't think he was ever like that. I think he never cared what he said, because he used to, like, hate God, he used to hate Guardiola, didn't he?
I've heard him say that. Guardiola, didn't he? Did he like Messi? Did he mention Messi?
He did like Messi. He did, but then I was getting undertones if he didn't like him.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was getting undertones
of dressing him. Oh, yeah.
No, just like, yeah, not that he didn't like him, but just like, I would be like, how good's Messi? I'm like, Messi's the best ever. And he'd be like, yeah, good player. And I'm like, nah, he's not a good player. I'm like, nah, he's not a good player. He's like, yeah, but Messi played with me. You realise Messi played with me like that? And I'm like,
okay.
I think, but if you think about that, like, the amount of players that played for Barcelona with Messi, and of course Messi's the best, but imagine, like, Eto in his prime going to Iniesta, Xavi, and that. Yeah. How good's Messi? They'd be like, what about me? That was some player, true. I know. So
and was
I'd imagine, but I know, but you're only asking about him, you're like, oh, how good's Messi? And he's like, oh, no, I don't
know.
He's the 1 millionth guy to ask me.
I used to
10 millionth guy to ask me, man. Aid me, he's asking Messi, man. Oh, I just want to talk about money.
I used to get that.
That's always what he's talking about.
I want to talk about money.
He's like, I just want to talk about money.
Was he absolutely caked that?
I told you, mate, he was on like 20 mil a year net in Russia. And that's after Inter Milan and Barcelona, mate, and Real Madrid.
What would he spend his money on? Cars, that? Would he have houses everywhere in the world?
Stuff. We talked about houses one minute, and he was like, oh, I think I'm going to sell my flat in Milan. I'm a house in Milan. 17 million, I think I'll sell it for. And I'm like, 17 million? A flat?
But did they know, like, when he was a captain, did they know by, like, all the players when they went to World Cup or something? That's something like that, like, ridiculous watches.
He would have done that. I'd never heard that story, to be fair, but I could see him doing that. I definitely see him doing that.
Right, last few bit, lads. Obviously, your old side, tough start to the season, lost at Aston Villa. What do you think the current situation? They're desperate for a striker, aren't they?
They're desperate for a striker, I think. Calvert-Lewin obviously been injured. I would imagine they would have been in the market for a striker anyway.
Joel Newbley, they're in for Hank.
I would take him. Absolutely sensational. Uh-huh. I'd take him.
Oh, well, not
the trickiest 6'5" striker you've ever seen in your life.
They had one on Saturday. Did you see it when he was in the corner? It was like the last couple of minutes. Marsh made a great save.
Yeah.
But he's like holding two off and rolled it.
His feet are
and went down and then played it across. I was like,
he has a winger that's been moved inside because he's massive.
Because he's
He's been tricky when he was younger. And he's been moved inside, but
his brother was the same. I played with Frank at Swindon, mate.
Is that his brother?
Six, uh-huh.
Was that his brother?
Oh, he wanted to be David's fair,
I should have realised that. It's quite a unique name, isn't
it? Newbley, he was the exact same, mate. But you would think we're getting a big target man for Chelsea, mate. Guys just wanted to do stepovers all the time.
I seen him at Aberoff last year. I thought he was really good.
He's flying.
Was he on loan there last season?
Yeah.
Was it Aberoff last season?
Until January.
Everton. They need a striker.
Everton need a striker. They've needed one anyway because Richarlison left. I know he played off the left, but if Calvert-Lewin wasn't there, he'd play through the middle. And I think looking at the game on Saturday, it was obvious for everybody to see Anthony Gordon's playing there as a striker. And
let's talk of him, talking
Chelsea
as well.
Aye. He's not ready for Chelsea, is he?
I don't know.
They obviously see some real potential, don't they? He is a good player, a very good player.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not played a lot of games, has he? No. He's probably only been in the first team for
I think there's 40 million is the first bid, isn't it? And Everton have rejected it, which means they're probably going to go back and Everton will sell him and reinvest it.
You don't bring a bid to the table, do you, generally?
No.
If the player doesn't want to go. Bids don't
unless
generally
you're Man United.
Unless you're Man United, aye. But generally, bids don't come in for players, do they? Unless there's been a bit of contact with the players.
Either that or the club. Maybe they've phoned up about Calvert-Lewin. Because they're desperate for a striker as well. Maybe they've phoned up about him and the club have went,
oh, no, but he's for sure.
Anybody else interest you? I don't know.
Jake Lampard's the right man.
Aye.
For Everton, do you like him, Fandy?
Aye, I think he's... The other years, for the Everton that I played for, the kind of... The togetherness of the whole club is slowly but surely gone. The money they've spent on players, they're the last
incredible amount of money. Though.
Half a billion
some
on players.
Ones.
And arguably, Conor Cody comes in on a free, our loan. Tarkovsky comes in on a free. You would say they're two better signings than anybody that came before that, particularly the wide areas.
Why are you looking at your shoulder?
No,
you're right. Hey, listen, you're right, mate. You're right. Listen, I can't argue
past,
with that.
because after you came in, there was a lot of, right, we've got all this money, we're just going to spend loads of money, and it's just no work signing three players for the one position, over 100 million plus your wages. And I think
like 50 millions are getting branded about left, right and centre, like incredible fashion.
Incredible.
Sigurdsson,
Klaassen and Rooney in the one window. 100 million for the one position. Really?
Look at like, I remember this one really well because it was kind of the one who was like, well, we're buying him and you're not going to play now, or you're not going to be involved or anywhere near it. Like Balassi.
Aye.
Yeah,
Balassi, like 35 million or something like that.
Yeah.
And I'm going, a lot of money. Like, yeah. And this is like going back 4, 5, 6 years, like, and then ends up leaving, probably leaving on a free.
Aye.
A lot of players like that.
Have they got a guy, a director?
It was that Marcel Brands, wasn't it? He was kind of director of football or head of recruitment.
I think
because he took a guy from Leicester as well who was really good, didn't he? Walsh,
I don't know why it didn't work. Benitez then got rid of, I think it was Brands last year, I'm not sure. I think it was. But I think, going back to the point, Frank's kind of galvanised. He's definitely got the support behind the team. They showed last season that they could get back to being a team that were hard to beat, hard to play against. They were organised. The players up until, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 games, even into Frank's early tenure, they looked like they were easy to play against. There wasn't a level of commitment that you needed. But he's managed to get that back. And I don't know if you've seen the fans before the games at the end of last season. They were outside the training ground with the flares singing. They were lined Goodison Street.
As in like support on the team?
Like 2 hours before kickoff, like packed.
I think I did
packed.
See that on one of the
And
they've
done it the first game of the season as well.
Yeah.
So I think Frank's done, he's done that. The signings of Tarkovsky, Cody, very good. The boy Onana looks a good player as well. I know it's early, but he looks a good player. So I think get a striker in and I think it'll be all right.
Yeah, right. Same, it'll be alright. What is success for Everton this year?
But that's one thing I don't kind of agree with, though. Like, I not agree with you, like you didn't say that, but like the Everton fans or the club staying up last season and everybody celebrating like it's an achievement. You can't, I don't think that's Everton, in my opinion.
It was last year,
but I know you've went through a couple of managers and did Frank Lampard have the whole season?
No.
He didn't have the whole season, he went through two managers. But
I think there was a time where Everton looked like they were in big trouble.
They did look like in big trouble, but what I'm saying is I don't think Everton should ever be in that position, especially with the money they've spent. And that goes back to,
well, they'll no doubt the same this year. If it comes to the end of the season, like for where they've been able to stay up was huge because the financial fair play,
of course,
the new stadium, if Everton had went down, potential for them for it to have been the last game at Goodison before they move into new stadium. So that was all about staying up. The summer's been about building on that, bringing the right players, and this year is not about just staying up. It can't be.
You're two games into the season though, and it's two defeats straight away. Do you know what I mean?
I know.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, we send you two defeats. 2-2.
No, I don't fuck. We've won 3 out of 6.
I think no Europe this year. I think being well clear of relegation, looking towards mid-table again because that is a good squad of players, but it's going to be tough.
You look at teams
above them that have strengthened, and it's a tough one to call.
Right, he's ready. Predictions, that's us done. He's been outstanding. Champions, it's got to be Man City. I'll go Man City.
Man City for me.
Man City for me as well.
Haaland passed the ball twice the full game. Crazy, eh? See that? Eight touches, passed it twice.
He had four touches for his assist.
No, he never.
No, he controlled it, took another touch, took one and slid it through. Yeah. Four touches for his assist.
And he took kickoff as well. Wow.
This is it. So a guy comes in, everybody wants to see him because he's like a phenomenon. He plays a game, he gets 8 touches, gets an assist, and the message is, he's in a shift for the team, he's occupying defences. It's not good enough. Like Lukaku last season, absolutely hammered.
Yeah.
Hammered.
Still probably game, finished with 15, 18 goals though, but hammered, bought for 100 mil, ends up going back on loan.
I know,
but just the Haaland one is like,
2 minutes into his...
How will he fit into the... Like you're already seeing it, aren't you? Teams that play against Man City, which teams come out against Man City? Not many.
No.
Not many. West Ham, maybe, you're spacing behind, but see when the teams are like, that they were at the weekend with them.
It's amazing, isn't it?
He's playing in front of them,
yeah,
and it's probably not quite his game, is it? It's not quite his. They're not playing to his strengths, or the space isn't there for him to run into. So how is he really affecting the game? But
I just laugh because last year it was.
They need a striker.
I don't play that
but I think Guardiola proved he didn't need a nine though.
Aye.
He proved that last season he doesn't need a nine. So, but then if you're going to take, if you want anyone, it's going to be Haaland, isn't it?
Yeah, nine. There's one thing for sure he will improve under Guardiola.
Yeah, 100%.
He's going to score a lot of goals as well. 100% he will.
Right, top four.
I'll go City, Liverpool, Chelsea. And Spurs.
Right, okay, find it.
City, Liverpool. I think Arsenal have a good season this season. Chelsea I thought were excellent yesterday. And if they get a striker in, it will make them so much better. I'm going to go Spurs third.
Who's not in that, Chelsea?
I've not picked my four. City, Liverpool, Spurs, Arsenal.
Wow. Which means Tuchel gets sacked, innit, if he doesn't finish top four?
No, it's different owners, innit?
So you think he keeps his job if he doesn't finish top four?
No, it's a tough league this year.
We'll talk about it next week if he's come on again. So watch the Arsenal All or Nothing between now and then. Have you seen it?
My wee boy's been watching it.
Right, well, we'll talk about it. You need to watch it, mate. It's fucking brilliant.
What's so good about it?
So it's in about the dressing. Arteta, mate. I want to hear your opinion. I'll give you mine next
both
year.
Good and bad, apparently. But right, I've not seen it.
Right, watch it.
Sounds bad.
I quite like him, mate.
Right, okay. Sounds David Brent.
A wee bit David Brent, but which I like even more. See, we're following this, mate. That's every time I speak,
with the music on when you're training. Have you got the music on for when you're training?
So you played You'll Never Walk Alone.
Do you do that?
No, do I? Fuck.
Right. Did You Never Walk Alone?
Right, well, so watch it.
I need to watch it then.
Right, okay, really.
I've got enough games to watch this week. You want me to watch a full series?
We're paying you here. We're paying you big money here, mate.
I've never seen the contract where I have to watch Netflix before I came on. It's about football.
Relegated.
Premier League?
Norwich. Just say Norwich every year, didn't you?
Aye. Norwich on the championship.
They could go again.
Bournemouth.
Really? What about Scott Parker with his Tom Brown gear? Have you seen
that? Nice, mate.
He's battered, nice, isn't he? Reds.
Who else? I think the team.
Fulham.
I think Fulham will be alright.
Yeah.
Aye. Big Mitrovic smashing people at the weekend again.
Right, so who are you going? You're going Bournemouth?
Bournemouth.
Burnley and Norwich.
You actually
struggle to think about
who's in the league.
Who's that? Is it Watford or?
Well, last year
Watford are down as
well. What about
Forest?
Leeds struggled.
Forest might be alright, mate. Right. They've spent a lot of money, but they obviously won on Saturday there, or Sunday was the game. But I think they might be alright. One of those teams that surprise you their first season. You know.
Yeah. Play good stuff. I like Steve Cooper.
Aye, I think he's a good manager. Good signings, I know. I need to check the table.
So who do you know? Fulham.
I'm saying Fulham because I think Fulham are one of those similar to Norwich.
I'll tell you what.
Unbelievable in the champ every season. Then when it comes to the Prem, they go straight back down.
I'm going to go.
I'm not saying Bournemouth though. I think Bournemouth will be all right.
Aye. Well, you've not got many options, mate. Nah. Because there's quite a big team.
Everton in it.
Could Everton be...
No chance.
You're bloody. All right.
What about like a West Ham under... They've had two defeats. I know they've played Man City. Nah.
Southampton, right. Southampton.
Leeds.
I think Leeds would be all right.
Under Jesse
Marsh. Was on the pro licence. Not like done a
talk on the good?
Pro licence. He was
Ted Lasso.
Was he?
No, he was brilliant.
Was he good?
Aye. So good.
He was Leipzig before that as well, wasn't
he? Yeah, Leipzig, that's right.
Salzburg.
Southampton could be a shout.
Southampton will struggle. And I don't know.
Right, well, Gaze another week time at relegation.
Show us that table there, actually, if you can, please.
Right, while he's choosing Faddy player of the season.
See, normally you get a wee bit of time, don't you? You just want it on the spot.
Want it on the spot, mate.
I need time to think.
Sorry, I'm going Wolves as well.
Oh, Wolves, decent shout. Yeah.
I'm going Wolves, Fulham.
So who are you, Fulham, Wolves?
Wolves, Fulham, and
Man United? That's unbelievable.
Everton.
You should really scarred, didn't you, for your time at Everton? It's alright, mate.
Nah, mate.
Right. He wouldn't, you wouldn't like this if Everton's
got close to retiring, mate.
I couldn't, mate. Close to retiring, mate. My boys would be. Absolutely.
Did they go down quite a bit?
Been down a few times last year, aye.
They love it.
Aye.
They get proper treatment, aye.
Aye, they get looked after, aye. They're good.
Right, player of the season,
good club.
De Bruyne.
Grant Hanley. De Bruyne.
Mate, Norwich on the champ, man.
No, let's just keep saying it.
Hey, aye, that's hard to argue with. Right. De Bruyne.
De Bruyne. What about the side of the boot finish?
Tremendous.
Gabriel Jesus.
Oh, he's been on fire, isn't he?
He's been up for it.
Boys, sensational. Thanks very much.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.